thanking God. He's giving God the credit for his own righteousness. So instead of any goodness that he has, he's recognizing and acknowledging that it's from God. And so earlier we had that goodness spectrum. Where would we put the Pharisee on the goodness spectrum? Is the Pharisee right with God? So that's our first guy. Our second guy is a tax collector. And with tax collectors, if there's any group in society that everyone may not like, it's tax collectors. And tax collectors, not only do they take money, they often keep some for themselves. And so if you imagine if you were a Jew, not only are tax collectors supporting the Roman authorities, they're also committing extortion. They're taking your money and they don't care like what your family situation is like. It may even be destroying the families at home because of the money that they're taking. So in the eyes of a first century Jew, tax collectors are really, really bad. Like they're almost considered as bad as murderers. There's no one that's worse out there. But what does the tax collector say when he approaches the temple? But the tax collector, verse 13, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, turn your wrath from me, a sinner. So the question is, why does he pray that prayer? What's on his mind when he says those words? One can only guess what he's done in the past, the lies that he said, the guilt that's currently crushing him, the shame that he feels from his family, the money that he's taken. It's partially why he doesn't even come close to the temple. He stands far off. What right does this tax collector have to even come close to this temple where people get right with God? He calls himself a sinner. He sees himself as the worst of sinners. And there's no one that is as bad as he is. That's how bad he is. He can't even come near the temple. He can't even look up and ask God. He calls himself a sinner. And sin is not something that I guess we would use in everyday conversation. And a sinner, I guess, is expressed in different ways. But at its heart, that's why we have, this is a podium. If God, at number one, we have God. At number two, we have us, man. At number three, we have the world. Sin is when we push God aside from number one and we put ourselves as number one. Sin may be expressed in different ways, through lies, violence, sexual immorality, all sorts of ways. But at its very heart, the very essence of sin is when we push God aside and we put ourselves as number one. We're in charge. We call the shots. A quick little way to remember that is I is at the center of sin. That's what sin is. And so, if you were God, this is always dangerous, but if you were God, wouldn't you be angry if your child, whom you love, didn't listen to you? If your child, whom you've invested time and energy and made countless sacrifices for, turned your back? And not only that, if they grew up to live a destructive lifestyle, if your child grew up to lie and cheat others for their money, if your child turned away from your words of wisdom, and hopefully not, but even if your child turned up in jail one day because of a crime that they've committed, wouldn't that make you angry? God's anger rests on this man, and he knows it, and he's asking God for his forgiveness. And so, where does this tax collector fit in on the goodness scale? On the spectrum, where would you put him? I guess on one end, you wouldn't put him as, maybe you'd put him as close to Pol Pot or Hitler, but certainly he's not on the good end, is he, with the nurse? Is this tax collector right with God? Can God forgive such a man? Verse 14. I tell you this, one went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So if we read this again, it's actually the tax collector who's right with God. Now hang on a second, isn't the tax collector the guilty one? Yes. Isn't he the one that's cheated others? Yes. Isn't he the one that's as bad as a murderer? Yes. But what about the good guy? Nope. What about all the money that he's given? Nope. What about all the times that he's been at church? Nope. It almost seems a little bit unfair at this point. But you see, the truth that is here is, God forgives those who ask. Despite how bad the tax collector's track record is, despite all the things that he said, all the things that he's done, the people that he's cheated, the guilt that's on him, God forgives those who ask. You know, here's another question. What was on his mind when he was approaching the temple? Can you imagine the shame that he was feeling from his family at that point? You know, it might not even be a stretch to say that he may have been thinking, I'd rather be dead than for my family to find out some of the things that I have done. But God forgives him. He's not too bad for God's forgiveness. In fact, no one is too bad for God's forgiveness. And to tell you a story about this, there's a man in the Bible called Saul. Saul, previously, he's a guy that went around killing Christians simply because of their faith and their belief. He killed a guy called Stephen, and here's a guy that's murdering Christians. Can God forgive such a man? Well, he does. Even Saul is forgiven by God. And even Saul is used by God to write over half the New Testament that we have today. That's the extent of God's forgiveness. And friends, these are powerful words. These are powerful truths. You know, we may not have murdered someone, but I'm sure we've thought it. That's what Jesus talks about when he's on in the Beatitudes. Even if you're angry at someone, you're committing murder with them in your heart. You know, the sleepless nights, even for a fleeting moment, the sleep deprivation, the office politics, the stresses at home, deadlines to meet. There are times where all of us have been angry. And Jesus says that's murder in our heart. We've all been there. But the good news is there's no one that's too bad for God's forgiveness. That's wonderful. The second thing I want us to be reminded of here is it's not about how good we are. See, when we look at the Pharisee, he's as good as it gets. He gives above and beyond. He does what's right. He's your model citizen and your model churchgoer. If there's someone that's good, it's him. And we can try to be good. We can try to do what the Pharisee does. But here, it doesn't matter how good we are. We're still not good enough. In the end, we need another way. In the end, we've all pushed God aside at some point, and we've made ourselves number one. The Pharisee's problem is he trusts in himself to be good enough. That's who Jesus told this parable to in the first place. In verse 9, he tells this parable to those who trust in themselves that they are righteous. See, when we trust in ourselves, we're trusting in ourselves to be right with God. But to trust in ourselves is to trust in the wrong person, because we can't make ourselves right with God. There's only one person who can do that, and that's Jesus. Only God can forgive our sins. It's not about how good we are, and we need another way. God forgives those who ask. And if he can forgive someone as bad as Pol Pot, he can forgive us. And that is grace. See, the difference, I think, with Christianity, with every other religion, for lack of a better word, religion, in the world is the difference between do and done. See, there are two kinds of people in this world. There's those who do and those who recognize that it's done. Okay? It's not what we do, but what Jesus has done. It's not about how many times we do good things, how many times we take the bread or drink the wine. It's what Jesus has done once and for all to bring us to God. And so if this is a book, the Bible, but if this is a book with a record of all my sins, and this is God up here, and this is me, there's a barrier between me and God. I can't lift this book. I can't take away my sins. Only one person can. Jesus does. And because Jesus takes my record of sins upon himself, I'm now free to have a relationship with God. And I guess at this point, this is actually a radical message. For those of us who don't follow Jesus, and this might be the first time, Christianity is actually not about being good. Church is actually full of sinners and hypocrites. It's not just full of good people. We might be good people, but it's full of sinners and hypocrites. The only difference with a Christian is forgiven. A Christian is right before God and declared innocent before the judge. And I guess for those of us here who do follow Jesus, this is the message we proclaim. This is why we work so hard. This is why we come here and set up so early in the morning. This is why we invite our friends to come to church. This is the message that we tell to the world, because the world needs to hear this. Forgiveness is found in Jesus alone. He's died once and for all to bring us to God. We can't assume this. We can't forget this. This is a message for the world. And I recognize I might be pushing a button here, but even if we don't ever come to church again, there's always one more church service that we'll be at, and that will be our funeral. See, at our funeral, what do we want people there to say about us? Do we want them to say, this person is a good person, he's done a lot of good things, he's now in a better place? Or do we want them to say, this person knew and trusted in Jesus? This person is now forgiven, he's now with the Lord, we will see him again. Those who trust in Jesus are forgiven. It's not about how good we are or what we do, but it's all about what Jesus has done. And so we have a short video, I guess, to sum up the message this morning. We'll bring it up now. It's called The Good-O-Meter.
Next. File, please. Some lying, some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way. Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things, too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like, one time, I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. File, please. Impressive.
Oh, yeah. I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles. I only read the articles!
Next.
My mom goes to church.
Was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next.
File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
It's a bit of an oldie, but it's still a goodie because I think it just so clearly communicates it's not about how good we are, it's about what Jesus has done. If we're with Jesus, if you trust in Jesus, then you're right with God. I know the video is a bit comical as well, but these are serious and deep truths that we're wrestling with here. It's not about how good we are. It's about what Jesus has done. And even no matter how bad we are, God forgives. And so you may have just, we've just had our open week this week. You might be visiting today. If some of the things I've said have been confronting or new, I'd encourage you to talk to someone about it. Maybe you were invited by a friend, or maybe you even walked in today. Please do chat to someone about it. You can talk to Mike, you can talk to myself, or some of the people here at Winston Hills. We'd love to share the good news of Jesus with you and help you work out your next step. Alternatively, there is a Christianity Explored course coming up, and so you should have a connection card there. And so if you're interested, again, please do put down your details so we can get in contact here with you. And so to close, in the beginning, we had the goodness scale. In the end, that's, I guess, the wrong question to ask. The right question to ask is, are we right with God? Like, do we trust in Jesus? Is he our Lord and Savior? Because if we have him as our Lord and Savior, then we will always be right with God. It's not about how good we are. It's about what Jesus has done. And so let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that he died and rose again on the cross so many years ago. We thank you, Father, that he is the one that declares us innocent before you. And we thank you, Father, that none of us here are beyond your forgiveness and that we can have mercy and forgiveness in you. We thank you, Father, that it's also not about how good we are. We do pray that we may not chase after these things or try to be good. But Father, we may recognize that it is all that Jesus has done that makes us right with you. And so Father, we just thank you once again for these great truths. We pray for those of us here who may be hearing this for the first time as well, that you may work in us, that you may help us to, think clearly and to continue to ask questions and wrestle with this. And we do pray that as a church here that we may be able to support and encourage each other towards living for you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.